If you've ever dreamed of living above a Costco, your dream's about to come true. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Welcome to TFG Unbuttoned. John Nash here with my good friend and co-host Tim Bennett. FocusGroupRadio.com is our website, and you'll learn about us there, including our partner, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. And here on TFG Unbuttoned, we look at three different... I was wondering, is it 86? Is it 87? 87. Got to pull it out. And here on TFG Unbuttoned, we tackle three stories you may not have heard about, but we want you to know about. And on Wednesday, when we drop the focus group, that's video format at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and Facebook Live. And if you're an audio-only listener, then you'll get that in your feed on Saturday. So, Tim, we are barreling towards March. I think that dreary January and February have certainly moved along, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it because I thought, as miserable as the weather's been, at least for us in the Northeast, I thought, well, in 2 months, we'll be in April, right?
Yep.
February, March.
No,
April.
March. We'll be in March, yeah.
Or, well, 1 month will be March, and the next month will be April. Yep. Right? So 2 months. Maybe it'll be warm. Maybe it won't be warm. I don't know. When is Easter this year? I was trying to figure that out on the calendar.
That's a good one. You know, that moves around.
Oh, here it is. Here's Palm. Oh, it's late this year. Well, comparatively, it's the 20th.
Yeah, April 20th. Third in. Hey, you know, this is a total random one for you. And this past week, I suspect that many people are just trying to either avoid the news or they're getting the snippets and they're like not processing it. But, you know, a swirl of activity from the new administration, the old / new administration. A lot of it is just erasing history and changing things, like that whole Gulf of America. It's the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, there was a song that came on. I was watching like a documentary thing, and a song came on they were using in the background, and it was Dan Hartman, I Can Dream About You. Remember that song?
I can dream about you. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very upbeat pop song, and I'm like, and something stuck in my head, and I thought, there's something about Dan Hartman that I read a while ago, and I finally found it on Wikipedia, and it's true. But it kind of, here's what I found. It says, the personal life and death, Dan Hartman. Hartman was never married and had no children. He died on March 22nd, 1994 at his Westport, Connecticut home from a brain tumor at the age of 43. A closeted gay man, he was diagnosed with HIV in the late 1980s. He kept his HIV status a secret and did not seek treatment, even after friend and intermittent collaborator Holly Johnson, formerly of the band Frankie Goes to Hollywood, announced his HIV status in 1991. So I'm reading that, and I thought, oh, wow, that's pretty. 43, brain tumor, HIV. And I, for some reason, it just hit me that I'm like, I'm in this mode or in this thinking or in a mood probably that whatever's happening now with the government literally just backtracking and all this crap going on, it just suddenly felt like, oh, the 90s again. I know we've talked about this before, but this one really hit home.
Well, certainly, as with what happened in the 80s with music, particularly from the UK, there's lots of expectation that the musical artists will be putting pen to paper. And Adam Sank, who we share DNR Studios with when we were broadcast over there, had recommended people listen to the old Pat Benatar song, We Belong.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. He said it could be very apropos now. But, you know, the craziness, I just said to Richard, it's going to be a long 4 years. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you have to do something. And there was, I laughed. There was, you know, he congratulated the state of Kansas when they won the Super Bowl, which is actually the Kansas City Chiefs play in Missouri. They're from Missouri. Kansas City's in Missouri. So, and then, you know, all the magas, oh, anybody can make that mistake. And I thought, yeah, I guess people could just think Kansas City's in Kansas, right? But then they showed, he did it in 2020, too. He did the same thing. And someone took a Sharpie and drew from Kansas around Missouri. It looked like it was Kansas. But they said, He didn't learn from 2020 when he made the same stupid comment. He made it again in 2024. So I don't know. I'm scared about NATO. I'm scared. At least the Senate, or the, yeah, I believe it was the Senate, has proposed, there's legislation that he can't pull us out of NATO without something like 2/3 of the senators voting in favor. So there's some very high number, which he would never reach unless the Democrats totally folded. So the NATO thing is secure mostly, I suppose. Whether he decides to, you know, engage or not is another thing.
Oh, it's so, I think what's so frustrating about it, everybody's like, do something, dude. But this is the group that's now running the show they have their cake and they eat it too. They have it both ways. It's exactly the example you just used. If he screwed up where the Kansas City Chiefs were in 2020 and he does it again in 2025, their thing is, oh, well, it could happen to anybody. If a Democrat had done that or someone from the other party,
Obama wearing the brown suit, how they thought he disrespected the office. Remember he had the beige khaki suit on when he was on?
Yeah, I do.
110. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ronald Reagan said, no one should ever be in the Oval Office in a hat. No man should ever be in there in a hat.
Elon Musk.
There you go. And his little bratty kid, right, running
picking
around.
Picking his nose, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the kid's fine, but you don't go in there just, he said, and Ronald Reagan said, you should not go in there without a jacket and without a, you know, you don't go unless you men have jackets on, and which may be too formal for this day and age, but you certainly don't go in there casual like Musk was in there. But we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. I know people are outraged, rightfully so. He removed trans from the Stonewall, which is a national park
in New York.
In New York. They were talking about a number of park rangers that have been let go at Indian reservations and around, and all of a sudden out of jobs. And
all over X, not that anybody should wade in there unless you have like hip-high boots on, because it really is sludge moving down a pipe. A lot of people are popping up. I voted for you 3 times, Mr. President. I was just let go of 16 years working for the department, like one of the government jobs. And of course, the responses to all this are people saying, we're playing the smallest violins in the world. This is what you get, you know. But they're actual pleas. People saying, please hire me back. Like, I'm sure you didn't mean to do this, but.
As my old boss used to say, the headhunter. You know, the politically incorrect headhunter that I work for.
I love
that's
him.
That's called tough shit. That's what he would say. Whenever there was anything that didn't go the right way, he goes, you know what? That's called tough shit. That's all he would. Then you moved on. Next. Yeah.
All right. Well, in the spirit of what we were just talking about, our first article today from TFGM Button comes to us about the Walt Disney Corporation or Disney in general, and it's their shifting on DEI. Initiatives and policies. And the reason that I actually included that in our articles this week was I actually think that this was they weren't abandoning the principles and they weren't walking away from their commitments. They were actually kind of reframing them. And I thought that was actually a smart thing to do. So key changes to their DEI policy on the executive compensation level, they're replacing diversity and inclusion performance factors with the more broad talent strategy evaluation. While the new metric still includes DEI elements, it prioritizes how talent initiatives contribute to business success. And then, you know, Tim, did you understand this, the rebranding of the, what they said here, DEI, like they're rebranding it, right?
Yeah. So they said that they had a site which was called Reimagine Tomorrow or Reimagine Tomorrow
right.
Initiative. And they said it previously highlighted underrepresented voices. And they removed that website, and the content's been relocated to Disney's corporate and internal websites, which, again, you and I have always said, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, is an internal program. It's not a consumer-facing program. So they took it from being this consumer-facing message on their website and moved it back into human resources, which is probably where it belongs.
And where a lot of the initiative happens from. And then
because those are the people that are going to make the change, right? They're the ones who are responsible for developing the culture in the company and hiring people they feel would fit within the walls of what the brands or the services mission is, or you know.
And then they took their employee resource group, ERG, and they simply renamed them to Business Employee Resource Group. It was Business Employee Resource Group, BERG. They're now saying instead of the word business, the B stands for belonging. So belonging employee resource groups to reflect a focus on workplace culture and employee experience. Again, an internal thing about how you're dealing with work and your coworkers and, you know, what the workplace is like. Nothing bad there. But the biggest one for me, and I talked about this with Tim earlier, was for a while Disney Plus has been putting on, if you happen to be streaming it and you want to put on like Jungle Book or Peter Pan or some of their older movies, the movie would start and there'd be like this big honking disclaimer, like, you know, there's dangerous stereotypes. And I always just wondered about that because we grew up with this stuff. And I know that things change and representation changes and language changes, but I'm smart enough to know that. So now they actually have there in the description of the show before you play, it says this program is presented as originally created and may contain stereotypes or negative depictions. That's all I need to know, right?
Yeah. Yep. And Iger, right, he's now taken over back over again. But I liked what he said because he said, you know, our job is to entertain.
Yep.
And they entertain globally. And we want to have the best talent, the best people that represent that. Naturally, because it's a global brand, it's going to have diverse workers. But they're following the values of integrity, creativity, collaboration, community, inclusion. But overall, you're being graded on, is the business moving forward and are we entertaining people? And I remember a friend of mine many years ago said they used to have this argument at Gap all the time because they constantly wanted to add things, add products, add different, go different ways and direction with the product line. And the head of Gap at the time just kept saying, we sell jeans and t-shirts. We sell jeans and t-shirts. Keep that. That's your focus.
No mission creep.
Right. What a t-shirt is, whether that's color, whether that's cut, whether that's style, whether jeans or khaki jeans, but we sell jeans and t-shirts, and let's not stray too far from that, which they did eventually, and we all know what happened to Gap, so which happens with a lot of companies with mission creep, but
we all know what happened to Gap.
Right? No, I mean, they struggled because they tried to be too many things. They got away from jeans and t-shirts. Yeah. You know, got away from, they were selling leather pants or something at one point. I thought, geez, it's not Gap.
What are they, H&M? Like, I mean, Gap is unique in the niche. Yeah. So I thought this was when Tim and I spoke about this article earlier, I think we both agreed that this was one of the smarter retoolings. It wasn't running away from it, wasn't slamming it. It was simply like, you know, acknowledging that it's an internal program. Here's some changes. And the external one, that warning on movies and TV shows that maybe it might contain, it was, you know, a stereotype, right, just felt okay to me.
But it wasn't the knee-jerk reaction that we've seen a lot of people do, which when there was a threat of a boycott, they all of a sudden pulled out of the HRC rankings and they abandoned everything. And again, as you and I said, they're confusing or this DEI protest has allowed them to pull consumer or public-facing messaging, which has nothing to do with DEI, which is an internal program. So these companies are using that as a crutch, I think, or an excuse to say, oh, we're not going to do Pride events anymore. We're not going to market to the LGBTQ consumer. We're not going to market to veterans. We're not going to do Black History Month. All this other stuff. Disney didn't do that. And Costco didn't do that. Apple hasn't done it. But a few of them have. And as you said, I think they were never behind it to begin with.
Oh, if they walked away from it that quick, they weren't that interested in going to the dance in the first place. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious about Nissan because they supposedly, of course, they've got a lot of other issues. They were supposed to merge with Honda and Mitsubishi, and that fell apart.
Right.
And but they're still visible on some of the social media sites. So although they promised they weren't going to do any more LGBTQ outreach or marketing, they're still doing it. So maybe it's
just
stuff that was already planned. Yeah, stuff that was already planned.
But
we'll see whether brands are saying we're not doing anything really works or not, or happens or not. And I'm sure by time somebody checks up and this will be on to the latest next flavor. It will be in a war or something. There'd be something else happening. Yeah.
All right. The next piece here we have here is completely different, and I teased it at the beginning of the show. Tim found it, and I loved it, actually. And it's about Costco building what appears to be a 5-acre complex at the intersection of La Brea, and I forget the other cross street, Coliseum and La Brea, in Los Angeles. So it would be the traditional big box store you're all familiar with if you're Costco shoppers on the ground floor. But then above it would be a residential unit and a community, probably about 800 units. I think about 184 of them would be designated for lower income or more manageable rents on a monthly basis. It would have a couple of courtyards, a rooftop pool. And I just thought it was one of these most interesting things because it's not done that often. And especially in LA, they've, you know, obviously with the fires recently, but even before that, there was a bit of a housing crisis going on. This made sense. But I love this, Tim. This could be like the Costco compound. You don't have to go anywhere.
Right. It's 800 apartments. It's going to be built, or they broke ground at Baldwin Village in South LA. 800 units. Although I will tell you, the Costco parking lots are almost as bad as Trader Joe's, right?
Yes, yes.
So I wondered.
I think it's underground, though, with this thing, right?
Well, I was trying to figure out, because they said they were going to have parking for 800 units plus the store, which has got to be, you know, a lot of parking, because we all know what the stores are like. And I thought, as much as I love Costco, although I'm at a Costco this week.
Out of stock on?
No, Richard went, and I told him not to, but he did it. He bought the chicken salad, from the rotisserie chickens. Yep. They made the chicken salad. If it was closer, because they're an hour and a half from here, I would have taken it back. It was $17, $16.89, and not edible.
Ooh. Okay.
It was like mush. And then I went online and looked, and a lot of people are complaining. But what they're saying is they think they're using some sort of processed or canned chicken because there's a shortage of chicken.
Mm, yeah, the bird flu. Yeah.
And so it's bit this, but it was mushy. And
So now what does that have to do with this complex in LA?
Well, because I was mad at Costco. So okay, I don't want to live there.
Soundtrack. There you go.
I don't want, but I thought, you know, how do you take something? Can you take something like that back? I guess you could. But I don't know if you would never live in a place like this, though. Would you?
It's not that different than being above. Here in Manhattan, there's like a couple of Whole Foods that have apartment buildings above them. It's not that uncommon. I just think it's an unusual development for something like a Los Angeles, but I think it's smart. They did describe the units, the 800 units they plan on building. They're not really going to build them. There's some kind of modules that can be shipped in. And some critic said, well, it may resemble a prison inside.
I don't mean to laugh.
That's where your chicken salad goes.
I guess, you know, Costco does do quality, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think this is more of an interesting real estate issue with they want to put a store in. If they put housing above it, they can pull it off. You know, it's that kind
of thing. Get around a lot of the other issues. Yeah.
Our last piece is a quick one. Tim and I both stumbled upon this and talked about it earlier. In the West End, London's West End, there is a show called Here You Come Again, and it's a Dolly Parton-inspired musical, and it's currently touring the UK. And apparently, at least once a week, maybe twice, someone gets up in the audience and starts heckling the actors because there's a point where a gay character appears on stage, and they heckle, and here's my favorite. This is why I think you and I liked it. It reminds me of Team America, because the producers put out a statement. In light of homophobic comments and abuse directed at our company, the producers of Here You Come Again condemn this abhorrent behavior in the strongest way. Hans Brick, what are you going to do? Write me a letter. I just thought of that scene where he's like, you will take your weapons of mass destruction. What are you going to do? I'm going to write a letter.
You a letter telling you how angry they are with you.
Yeah. Individuals making such comments are not welcome. They have been and will be ejected. So there's the humor part of me read that and immediately just was thinking of that scene where Kim Jong-un is like, you know, no, you're not, you don't write me a nasty letter on a Team America. But then there's this disbelief that in a show you're watching about Dolly Parton, in a theater that you would stand up and start having a fit about a gay character on stage. And I'm like, did the world rewind that quickly from 2025 to 1910 or something? I mean,
well, I thought the same thing. I said theater, Dolly Parton, gay.
Yeah.
Really,
it's almost expected, right?
Right, there's gambling in River City. I mean, right? I mean, I thought
love that line.
Yeah, who was surprised by any of this? But it was disturbing because I thought again, a lot of the
behavior.
They're getting a pass, right? It's okay. The behavior's okay. Wait until they start doing it about other groups, right? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you know,
if they don't like an interracial couple, they don't like a woman
pilot.
Just to
put a little period or a dot on this one. A few nights ago, we finished watching a 2-part documentary on Netflix about the Jerry Springer Show. First half of the documentary, 2 parts. First half was the fun and the bubbly enthusiasm of the show taking off and him moving into that role from being a on the street journalist to an anchor and however he moved up that ladder. The second half of the documentary was a lot darker, in my opinion. It was really about how Pandora's box got opened by all these fights on TV, the crude way we did, you know, talk to each other. This goes hand in hand with heckling a stage about where the play is about Dolly Parton, who's a big fan of the gay community. I mean, anyway, folks. As I said at the start of the podcast, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987, has been a partner of ours here on the Focus Group Unbuttoned, and we'd like you to visit our site to visit theirs, focusgroupradio.com. Click on the Critics' Choice Video logo and start your shopping experience away. If you go to their site, and you go there a couple times, it's sort of psychic, like things start getting served up that you're like, oh, I think I want that. For example, on mine, we got The Substance, which I need to see. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 40th Anniversary Edition, 4K Ultra HD. Okay, great movie. A documentary about Alfred Hitchcock. And a movie that I haven't seen. I don't know if I want to see it or not. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. But what popped up for you, Tim?
Well, you'll laugh because they totally are locked into some sort of algorithm. Because mine popped up as an 80s sale. Not only were the Vans that I wear, the checkerboard black ones.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
The movie 9 to 5, Dolly Parton you just mentioned. Flashdance, Crocodile Dundee, the Indiana Jones movies, Porky's, which is such a lowbrow fret, but you know, Witness, Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh,
so classic. I laughed because I thought these are all movies that I've mentioned before. Or I talked about, and so those popped up for me. So as John mentioned, head over to focusgroupradio.com, and while you're there, you'll find all of our media there, but you'll also find the logo for Critics' Choice Video, which is America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. They've been with us since we started here on TFG Unbuttoned. So we appreciate their support of us and your support of them. So be sure to click on them and start shopping away and finding all good stuff. Aside from movie and TV, there's also records and other sorts of gift and brick and brack. Toys and
Nick
books.
And knack and brick and
Nick
brack.
Nick and knack and brick and brack. So, hey, thanks for joining us here. Be sure to catch our show, The Focus Group, with Tim Bennett and John Nash, which is released on Wednesdays. Again, you'll find them in all of our media housed at focusgroupradio.com. We'll see you next time here on TFG Unbuttoned.
It's The Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.